This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with me, Dashran Johan and Lim Soo Ann. So before the break, we were talking about International Literacy Day, which is today, and the challenges being faced by literacy programs as they struggle with the COVID-19 pandemic. And now on to our second story. And of course, as always, if you have thoughts, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So for a second story, community studies in Malaysia have indicated that 1 in 10 children in this country, and that's about 750,000 children, are sexually abused. So an article in The Star from last year quoted Dato' Dr. Amar Singh, who's a consultant paediatrician, as saying that in 95% of the cases, a child's sexual abuser is someone known to them, and mostly the abusers are their fathers or stepfathers. So Dr. Amar, who has worked with sexually abused children for over 3 decades, also cited 3 community studies which showed that the incidence of child sexual abuse in Malaysia affects from 8% to 26% of children, and the accepted average is at 10%.
Mm. And according to the Women's Centre for Change, parliamentary statistics in 2017 showed that out of the total number of 1,951 reported cases of rape, 80% of the victims are children, and that's those below the age of 18 years old. And according to those statistics, most of the perpetrators or abusers are usually people known to the child, such as fathers, stepfathers, relatives, grandparents, tuition teachers, or neighbours. And child sexual abuse is also a grossly underreported crime. In fact, it is the most underreported of crimes. Globally, it is estimated that only about 10% of cases are even reported.
Hmm. And child sexual abuse occurs in all populations. It happens to children in all socioeconomic and educational levels, across all racial and cultural groups, and in both rural and urban areas. So it's defined as the exploitation of a child for sexual gratification by an adult or an older person. It's called incest if it occurs between family members. And as we mentioned earlier, the vast majority of child sexual abusers include someone the child knows, such as a parent or any other relative, a teacher, clergy, neighbor, or a friend. And child sexual abuse can also be perpetrated by juveniles as well as adults.
So one organization that has been working hard to eliminate violence against women and children is the Women's Centre for Change, which is based in Penang. So part of their work has been to support and empower child victims of sexual violence and aid in their recovery, while also advocating for their best interests and protection. So they've been working to raise awareness on the unacceptable of child sexual abuse, and have also been advocating the notion that stopping child sexual abuse is everyone's responsibility.
Right, and throughout the years, they have also been working to arm children with the knowledge that might save them from being victimized. So just recently, they released a digital story titled Lisa and Her Secret to help children learn about child sexual abuse and how it can manifest in daily life. So this illustrated story shares how the character Lisa, a young girl living with her family, was groomed by her visiting uncle and subjected to sexual abuse. With simple and clear storytelling and colourful illustrations to accompany the story, Lisa and Her Secret really helps anyone reading it to identify how child sexual abuse takes form. And it's really a great educational tool for kids and adults alike on how to take action against this heinous act.
Yeah, so we wanted to find out more about the digital story, which is available for free online. So joining us on the line now is Lo Cheng Kui, the Executive Director of the Women's Centre for Change, to tell us more. Welcome, Cheng Kui. Thanks for joining us. And just to start off with, what sparked the idea to publish Lisa and Her Secret? Tell us about the brains behind the publication.
Yeah, it's actually very interesting. WCC has been involved with child sexual abuse for over 20 years. We've been running programs in primary schools, what we call the OK Tak OK, Good Touch, Bad Touch program. And through the years, we've developed many resources. One of it has been a cartoon booklet. So our first booklet on this is called Nina and Her Secret, where we talk about a story of a child going to a park and this uncle came to meet her and you know, befriended, groomed her, and then started molesting her. So just early part of this year, We were chatting with one of our consultant friends, Dr. Amar Singh, and he was reminding us and said, hey, look, most of child sexual abuse happen in the homes. Incest from the relatives, from, you know, fathers, stepfathers. Most of the cases are from the home. He says, you know, you all should do something about a situation like that, which is actually more realistic. So what we did is, of course, come the MCO, we're all sitting down at our home brainstorming. And then we decided to do this story about Lisa and her secret. This time, we use the uncle, the mother's brother coming for a visit and then staying with them that he sexually molested the child. So that's a story. I mean, the other common thing is, of course, one of the perpetrators for incest is also father, stepfathers and all that. So we wanted to put a situation that in reality, this is what happened. Actually, this is only our first book. In a few months' time, we have another one, which is Yusri and His Secret, where we're talking about boys being sexually molested. This is the other important fact that we want to raise to Malaysian public, that boys are increasingly being sexually abused. So we just got our script writer, which is Dr. Premer Devaraj. And luckily, we knew of this cartoonist, Asmi Hussein, who is actually a caricaturist in Penang. So we brought the two together and we got this book. Mm. And another book, which is forthcoming in probably in 2-3 months' time. And we were very fortunate, of course, to get our sponsor, Yayasan Hasana, through their Hasana special grant. And so they sponsored the whole project for us.
So who do you hope to reach through a book like Lisa and Her Secret? You know, who's your target audience?
So you have to know this little cartoon booklet is actually online. Yeah, we have not published it. So this is the first time we're doing an online book. Actually, initially, we're a bit nervous about, you know, when we put it out on our Facebook, who will read it online. So we were hoping for, of course, parents, people who look after young children, adults to read it. But I must tell you, the response has been amazing. It's way beyond what we had expected. The English version, which was uploaded about 2 weeks back, in the Facebook, it's already hit 560,000. It's already reached and about 5,000 people shared. For the Bahasa version, which was the Twitter that went crazy. As of today, Twitter has already hit over 500,000, 560,000 impressions with 300,000 engagement. So it just shows to us how people were looking for such a book. And of course, the fact that it was online, people were able to share. So we were hoping parents would read it to their young children. And actually, this book is available in 4 languages. We've actually just uploaded the English and the Bahasa version. We still have a Chinese and Tamil version, which we will do over the next 2 Wednesdays. We will still upload it to cover all the main languages, vernacular languages in Malaysia.
That's really great to hear. And tell us about the approach that was taken in terms of the way the story was written, illustrated and presented. Why did you come to this decision?
Our first book, Nina and Her Secret, was very, very popular. It was one of our most popular little book. And you're talking to kids. You're teaching kids about good touch, bad touch, and able to tell an adult. So it has to be cartoon. It has to be colourful. The language has to be simple. So, you know, it's a children's book. And that's why, you know, of course, if it's a children's book, drawings and simple text are the most crucial. We had to edit many, many, many times to get into what we think was as perfect as we liked it. But it worked. I mean, to get over 500,000 reach is just way, way beyond, you know, and for different languages. And it's also interesting. The English was Facebook and the Bahasa was Twitter. Mm. So it's really interesting for us. We're also getting to know with COVID, what is the best approach to reach out to people?
And what are some of the lessons that the story hopes to get across to both children and adults alike?
Well, one, when the adult read the story to the children, we hope to tell the adults, you must believe when a child tells you something terrible is happening to the child. Okay? Mm. And for the adult to read to the children, or getting the children to read the story herself or himself, we are able to tell the kids that you must tell someone. So hopefully if the mom is reading to the child, she will be able to end up a story and say, remember, if anything you don't like happened to you, remember to tell mommy. Yeah? Mm. And that's where you build that trust with your child, that if anything bad happens, please tell mommy. And I think the amazing book, the amazing response we got from both the English and the Bahasa version, it's really very, very sad for us, because we had quite a few comments in our social media. Can I just share with you some of these tags that people wrote to us? Like, you know, what someone wrote and say, as a child sexual abuse survivors, I wish this comic existed when I was young. Thank you for sharing for future generation. And, you know, it's got things like, you know, being molested by a close family member when I was a child and really traumatized. Please send a message to people that they must trust their kids. Yeah. Kids don't lie about sexual abuse. Yeah. So the message that was coming out from people, and these are what do you call childhood sexual abuse survivors, their message is very clear. Please trust your kids when the kid try to tell you something bad is happening to him or her. You know, I think mothers particularly respond badly when it is the husband who is sexually abusing the child. So we really must actually, as adult, we must respond, because each child carries that abuse into his or her adult life. So the lessons are both one for the adults or the parents or the relative, whoever is taking care of the kid. You know, you have to trust your kid when a kid tells you something bad is happening. The other is for the child. By reading to the child, you're telling the child to say, you must tell an adult. And that's the message we're conveying to the kid. Yeah.
Mm. And do you hope this will also help to shift the responsibility of child sexual abuse prevention from children to adults and public institutions?
It has always been the role of an adult or any institution, government agency. Our role is to protect the child. That's our role. Yeah. And when a child tells, the child is in crisis. It is our role to support and protect this child. And this whole, what we call victim blaming, that we blame the child, you're lying, are you sure it's not a dream, and all this, these are some of the comments that we get from our Facebook and Twitter, is telling us actually a child, this disbelieving of an adult is serious when a child tries to tell the adult. So often the child daren't tell. You know, in our book, in our Lisa book, you can see that the child says, but, you know, Uncle Jean says, your parents won't believe you because they like me, you know. So that's the thing, that a child is always fearful, because the abuser often threatens, or often when he grooms, he said, this is a secret between you and me. And for the child, she at a certain point, sometimes she doesn't understand whether it's inappropriate, because there's a whole grooming process involved in that. So a child is confused initially, but later when she feels something is not right, she then is fearful, unless she already have a good relationship that the parents won't scold her. So it's very important for adults to respond appropriately.
And how important is it for to prevent child sexual abuse and not just respond to the problem?
Of course, it's extremely important to prevent child sexual abuse. And that's the purpose of this book. That if a child is believed when the abuse first happened, an adult can try to immediately stop the problem and deal with the abuser. So once you have that, you're saving a child's life. Not only that, the child will grow up much less traumatized. if the child is not supported, like what we read from the comments, if the child is not supported many, many years down the road, she still suffers from some sort of trauma, and often it affects her normal relationship as she grows up in the adult world, you know, to have a normal life, to have, you know, marriage, to find a good partner, etc. All this affects a person invariably. And sometimes if a child is sexually abused and it's never handled, later in his years, he can also be an abuser. So it is so important for us to prevent child sexual abuse. We can nip the problem at the bud, then it reduces the kind of sexual crimes we read about in the papers every day.
Do you also hope this will strengthen existing child sexual abuse prevention programs and initiatives?
We have been, as I said earlier, you know, for the past 20 years, we've been printing easily 30 to 50,000 of our NINA book too. We run programs for primary school, about 4 to 6,000 every year. So with COVID, we couldn't do that this year at all. We train teachers to run the OK Tak OK, the Good Touch and Bad Touch program in school, and we give these books to the school. So we hope that people are able to print the book and disseminate it in their schools. That's one way to teach, and also to get teachers on board to prevent sexual abuse for children. Yeah.
Mm. And since you mentioned that it's available online, anyone can download and disseminate the story, is that right?
There's no problem because it's available. People can download it. And people have actually written to us, oh, can we print it? Of course, they can print it. That's why we're making it free and accessible to anybody who wants to download. What we hope when the COVID crisis is over, we intend to publish the book. But, you know, we're based in Penang, so it's very, very limited on how much we can reach out for schools in Penang. That's almost 280 primary schools in Penang. And, you know, we print several thousands every year, then that's not good enough. And if anybody out there wants to print the book, they just have to write to WCC. At the moment, Nina and Her Secret, which is the first book that we did, is available in our website, which is WCC Penang. Yeah, and you go into the section in resources. Lisa and Her Secret and the upcoming later this year, Yusri and His Secret, at the moment is only available online. Once all the four versions, the Chinese and the Tamil version, will also come out eventually. For Lisa and Her Secret, every Wednesday over the month of September for Lisa. This one is all available online currently, but eventually it will be uploaded in our website. We must thank Yayasan Hasana for coming forward to be a partner with WCC.
Thank you, Chen Kui. That was Lo Chen Kui, the Executive Director of the Women's Centre for Change. And changing the way we respond to child sexual abuse has to start with education and awareness, not only with children, but also parents and the community. So it's great that there are resources such as Nina and the Secret or Lisa and the Secret, that these are available to everyone so that we can all take responsibility in preventing child sexual abuse from happening.
Mm. Yeah. So if you'd like to read Lisa and the Secret and share it with others, do head to the Women's Centre for Change website at wccpenang.org, or you can follow them on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, really a great initiative there. And if you have thoughts that you'd like to share with us or comments, you know, if you've read the book, let us know. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or you can drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, I'll be speaking first to Paisy Ting, who is an artist, about her exhibition that's called Transcendence. And following that, we'll be speaking to the Theatre for Young People alumni, who and they're putting up a performance at the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre called Emergence 2020 Love and Loss. So that's it from us on the Daily Digest. But first, we leave you with A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.